Welcome to The Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Set on a small fictional island off the coast of Maine, Alexei Zentner's second novel, The Lobster Kings, is a nod to Shakespeare's King Lear. The book is a powerful family saga steeped in the legends of the sea. Set in a lobster fishing village, The Lobster Kings introduces a fiery and unforgettable heroine, Cordelia Kings. The Lobster Kings is the story of Cordelia's struggle to maintain her island's way of life in the face of danger from offshore and the rich, looming mythical legacy of her family's namesake. Alexei Zentner is the author of Touch. His fiction has been featured in The Atlantic and Tin House. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Alexei Zentner to this week's book show.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
What brought you to this particular topic, especially after Touch?
You know, I fell in love with the landscape more than anything else. We'd gone out to Maine on vacation, and there's something just incredibly beautiful about the way sort of the ruggedness of the cliffs meet the water. And I had wanted to write a story about sort of fathers and daughters and this question of how you live up to expectations of your father. And I really was just drawn to sort of this ruggedness and this idea of setting it in a traditionally male-dominated industry, and lobster fishing sort of called itself out to me. It seemed there's just a lot of room to operate as a writer, and when you set a book in a world that has that kind of landscape, it just puts a real pressure on the characters because the decisions that they make matter in a way that aren't necessarily as important if you live in a sort of a more benign environment.
I like that description of it not being a benign environment, but the other thing too is this family history that dates back hundreds of years, and the first of this family arriving on this island in 1720, which sort of permeates the whole thing, right? Because they are established, and yet there's so much history there that you have to figure it all out.
Yeah, absolutely. And the family history is this incredible weight that carries through the line. The first of the Kings family, Cordelia Kings is the narrator, and the first member of her family to come, Brumfitt Kings, comes to the island. And, you know, the story is that when he came, he only had to sail half of the way from Ireland, and he was able to walk the rest of the way on the water because the lobsters made a road with their backs. And the same man, you know, when he'd been on the island for a few years, he was lonely, and the sea gave him a wife as a gift. You know, this woman sort of washed ashore. And so all of this family myth and legend is something that's sort of handed down to the generations. And for Cordelia, it puts her in this really tight spot because what she wants to do more than anything is to be this woman who steps forward and leads the family, who is sort of taking over the lobster fishing business. And she wants to do it because she wants to protect the traditions of the island and the traditions of her family and her family history. But to do it, you know, she has to do the most untraditional thing she can, which is to be this woman saying, no, I'm going to do a man's work.
Brumfitt Kings had a journal, and he would make paintings and do paintings in the journal. And it is really through the paintings that Cordelia learns about her family, learns that her family is unique, and learns about that very rich heritage.
Yeah, Brumfitt Kings he's sort of like a mix of Andrew Wyeth and Winslow Homer, and sort of one of the first sort of great American artists. And what it means for the family is that they look, and this art that is public and is celebrated is also very, very private. The art is in some ways about the family because it's about Loosewood Island, and the family is all about Loosewood Island. So it's a place where she and her father encourages her, where she can go and sort of look for the answers to what it means to be part of her family and what she hopes and thinks the future might hold for her family.
That idea of what the future is going to hold and what she hopes, hope plays a big role in this, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the novel was a lot of fun to write, and I think a lot of people have enjoyed reading it because there's a lot of things going on. You know, there's drugs and guns and art and love, and there are some hard choices that Cordelia has to make. But I think she's somebody who really is hopeful. She really believes in sort of this family history and really hopes that she'll be able to carry the family forward.
I do want to mention her father as well, Woody, who tells her stories of her family. She learns a lot from those tales from her father.
Yeah, he's a natural storyteller, and he tells her a story about being in college and sort of falling in love with acting and how he knew that's what he wanted to do. And Cordelia, of course, being a bit of a smart aleck, as his daughter says, well, I guess that's why you're a lobsterman, Dad. But he does. He's somebody who, he himself has sort of lived this family history and this family myth. And it's important to him that Cordelia understands how alive this history is. I mean, I think for a lot of us, our family stories, they're just stories. They're things that happened. And for Woody and for Cordelia, these family stories aren't things that happened. They're things that are still happening.
And it haven't happened yet. And
yes.
And are, again, back to hope, that there is a hope that they will happen in most cases.
Yeah, absolutely.
The whole idea of the mystical, of the stories of the mermaids and the castles and the crowns being told to her.
Yeah, again, this is, the family history is so long that they come from a time when you looked at a map, on the edge of the map, it said, there be dragons. And there be dragons. And this family history is one that is sort of marked by legend. Again, Brumfitt, the first of the kings, his wife is a gift from the sea, and she comes with a dowry. And the dowry is that for each and every generation of the kings, they'll be given the bounty of the sea. But every blessing comes with a curse. And so for each and every generation, they lose the firstborn son. So this sort of myth, this magic, is really alive to them. And I think Woody is trying to teach Cordelia the ways in which Loosewood Island and the waters around it may not be as known as parts of the known world are, to be open to this idea that there might be sort of miracles and wonder out there. And that's maybe where a lot of the hope comes from. I think that, in a lot of ways, it's a very realistic book, but it's also a book that understands for the characters that you can be realistic and still be open to questions of wonder and beauty.
She has three siblings, and while they generally are not that interested as they get older in the family trade, Cordelia always knows that she wants to be a lobster woman.
Yeah, absolutely. For her, it was never a question. I mean, from the earliest age, it's her earliest memory start on a boat, and it's always been the place she's been most comfortable. She can feel sort of this way the sea acts. And her siblings, they do it when they're asked to, and they're willing to sometimes be there, but it's not the place that they have to be. Where for Cordelia, when she left for college, she did college as quickly as she could just so she could get back and get on a boat. There's no life for Cordelia without the water.
And it also brings a relationship and intention to a sibling relationship with her brother Scotty, who is as the only son, is next in line to become king.
Right. He's the firstborn male, which means he's the heir, but he's not the firstborn, and he's not comfortable on a boat. I mean, even at the youngest age, for Cordelia, the first time she meets her brother, she's out on the boat, and he comes out, and he's crying. And she says her memory is thinking he's not crying because he's a baby. He's crying because he doesn't belong here. He doesn't belong out on the water. This is not a boy who was born to rule the sea. And for her, the one of the biggest betrayals and the thing that she works to overcome her entire life is that her dad can't see it, that Woody sees this baby, sees this little boy, and says to Cordelia, he's going to be the one who takes over the crown. He's the next in line. And Cordelia doesn't know how to say to him, don't you see me? Can't you look at me? Why don't you see that I'm the one who deserves this? I'm the one who's really meant to take over this place.
We're speaking with Alexei Zehetner about his new novel, The Lobster Kings. It is published by Norton. Talk a little bit about Cordelia's relationship with her mother, who becomes a very troubled woman.
Yeah. Cordelia loves her mother very much, and her mother is sort of a traditional stay-at-home mom, takes care of the kids. And in a fishing community, when your husband's a fisherman, that means You know, sometimes there are days when your husband leaves before the sun comes up and comes home well after it's set. And, you know, her mother spends, before she had kids, her mother spent a lot of time sort of walking on the beach, just waiting for her husband to come home and hoping that he would. And then when the kids come, there's this worry of not only sort of her husband, but when he takes the children out. And she very much believes as well that, you know, fishing is not a woman's work. That, you know, when they're girls, it's fine if they want to go out to play. But, you know, a lady, a woman, doesn't belong on a boat. And for Cordelia, who, you know, there's no thing in her life that she can do other than this. There's no thing that's as important to this. It becomes sort of this incredible wedge between her and her mother. And her mother loves her and wants to be there for Cordelia, but doesn't understand that draw. And for the mother, I think there's that tension of waiting for loss and knowing that it's coming is not a tension that she can live with.
And yet Cordelia is very focused and is sort of taking what many don't see as her role, but she knows it and she's focused on doing it.
Absolutely. She's the kind of woman who will say, I don't care how it's been. This is the way it's going to be. And for her, there's sort of no other way. It's the focus of her entire life. And she has done everything she can to be worthy of inheriting the crown, to the point where maybe she's done almost too much, where she's at sometimes there's a question of, has she given too much of herself to this? And there's also a question for her is she always wonders, have I done it? Can I do it? I mean, I think she believes that she can, but like a lot of us, there's also this incredible doubt in there. And what she's seeking, the thing that she really needs, is really for her father to say, you know, I knew all along it should have been you. You know, I was wrong. I should have chosen you in the first place.
What is it like for you as a writer to create this mythology?
It's wonderful. I mean, writing a novel is this incredibly long process. And the best novels, I think, to write as a writer are the ones where you can just get lost in the world, which, you know, my wife and kids might not love that because it means sometimes they come home and, you know, they tell me they're home and I, you know, half an hour later I come downstairs and I say, oh, you're home. But for me, it sort of allows me to open the scope of the universe. And the novel's really about Cordelia and it's about her family, but it's also about sort of this world of Loosewood Island, this entire place that surrounds them. And for me, there's so many things about the world that I wrote and didn't include in the book or I didn't write because I was able to dive into it. And part of the joy of that as a writer, and I think as a reader too, is that you can feel how complete the world is, that even when you close the book, it's not a world that you leave behind. And it's really – it also – I think as a writer, it allows for a certain kind of freedom because – when you get to a question of what a character would do, you're not just drawing on the moment. You're drawing in sort of this entire world and mythology that you've created for them. And for Cordelia, you know, it's not just her. It's also what her father would have done and his father and his father and his father before him all the way back to Brumfitt Kings.
You do a beautiful job explaining it and telling us about this place. But this island, like so many islands, is another world, isn't it?
It is. And that was a really big draw to me. You know, one of the challenges of being a writer now, if you're writing contemporary fiction, is how do you deal with some of these questions of technology and the way things are changing? And it was really exciting to write about this island community because it becomes, or not becomes, it is its own place. It's able to resist change in a lot of ways. And a lot of the tension of the novel is really sort of about this question of globalization, of how do you resist change as a traditional community? But it is. It's its own little universe. They have their own rules they live by and their own codes. And it's small enough that there isn't a full-time police force, but large enough that some of the sort of evils of the outside world are coming. I mean, one of the challenges that the characters face is sort of the influx of drugs and sort of the problems that come with being part of a larger world. And so, yeah, so I guess one of the challenges is that Loosewood Island is its own world, but it's its own world that's part of another.
You in that other part of the world of the evil that comes to this island is the James Harbor Boys. Tell us a little bit about this rough bunch, how they come to the island, and what they're ultimately trying to accomplish.
So James Harbor is, and it's not a real place, but it's based on some of the communities sort of down east that have really struggled with sort of the scourge of drugs. I mean, heroin now and meth has been sort of really sort of devastating these communities. And in a working class community where you're doing physical labor, there's a real draw to meth because it gives you energy, and at first seems like it makes work easier, as well as opiates. And this harbor is a place, James Harbor is a place that really was never up on its luck. You know, it's not a place that's down on its luck. It's a place that has always been down on its luck. And it's then placed, so economically it's devastated, and it's gotten worse because sort of drugs have taken hold. And so the fishing community there is looking to do two things. Part of the fishing community is looking to expand its territory, to have better fishing, to catch more lobsters, and ideally make more money. But also some of those guys have gotten mixed up in drugs. And, you know, the money that you can make from drugs always ends up making things get corroded.
And there's some real turf war going on here, isn't there?
Absolutely. Loosewood Island, you know, they fish in their own way. And they have their own season, and they limit the number of traps you can set. And the idea being that if you sort of drop less traps, you'll actually the population of lobsters will increase, and you can catch more lobsters per trap. And it works really well for them, but not everywhere around them has done that. And so, you know, so the lobster population isn't even. And their waters are really good waters for catching lobsters. And the people who fish there, they do well. And that's not true of James Harbor. In James Harbor, they have to make the choice of either sort of going after a couple of communities near them that are bigger and that where there'd be more resistance, or going after the sort of small island community where they think or hope that there might not be much resistance. And there's a history there. I mean, this is something when Cordelia was a teenager, there was the turf war started, and Woody committed a sort of rather savage act of violence to put it to an end. But that truce is starting to fray as the book takes off.
How much time did you spend in Maine, and how much did you want to immerse yourself into this island lifestyle?
I took several trips down. You know, sort of once I knew I was writing the book, I went down several times to do research and talked to some lobstermen and spent time in the area. But I'm very careful as a writer never to do too much research. I think one of the mistakes you can make is to do so much research that you end up writing a book report. You know, you can end up feeling like you have to put in every detail you get. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't trying to recreate, you know, I didn't want to hold a mirror up to this life because I don't think that's what fiction does. I think, you know, fiction instead draws its own picture that's at an angle. And so I wanted to do enough research that it felt real to people on the coast. And I've been really fortunate, you know, early readers, you know, booksellers and some critics who grew up in Maine, who grew up in those kind of families have been saying how much it feels real to them. And I think the reason it feels real is that I wasn't trying to write about the nuts and bolts of being a lobsterman, but sort of rather the feeling of it, sort of the truth of it.
And so much of it is about this world that you have created, this mythology and this family history that you've created.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, people ask me, well, is it this island or that island or this town? And the truth is the answer is yes and yes and yes and no and no and no. I think that, you know, the best part of being a fiction writer is having the ability to step outside of yourself and to do things that serve the story. And to be able to create Loosewood Island, which, you know, physically is modeled somewhat on a few different places patched together, but is in its own world, allows me as a fiction writer to make decisions based only on what's good for the story, not what's the framework on the ground.
With something that is so cultural and especially so much a part of the sea, did you struggle at all to find the universal in that?
Yeah, and I think the universal as a writer is always the specific character. Mm. You know, Cordelia is this really strong, and she's fiery, and she's funny, and she's smart, and she wants to have love, and she's this really complex woman. And I think the thing I could have done that would have been a mistake, that wouldn't have worked, is if I had said, I'm going to write the female perspective. Because there isn't. There's no female perspective. In the same way, there's no male perspective. There's just, you know, women and men. And what I did is I wrote this specific character. And I think I wanted to write her in such a way that she felt real and alive and the reader could fall in love with her and get frustrated by her and root for her and want her to succeed and want her to be happy and really come to identify with her. And I think all of that comes from the characters before the situation. You know, I think it's in the same way that, you know, if you want to talk about sort of myths, if you talk about sort of in North America, the myth of the cowboy, you never have to have ridden a horse to understand what that feels like. Mm. And I think for sort of writing a lobster fishing village, you can get this sense of what it means to be in a village like this and to be on the water. But to make it feel truly alive, you need to sort of understand the people.
Without giving too much away, but also speaking about what you just said of keeping it alive, did you wrestle at all with having her fall in love?
I did, except that, you know, I wanted her to be a person. And even though she's stepping into a traditionally male-dominated field, she's the kind of woman who she's going to do it the way she wants. And there are things that she has to do to show herself to be strong, but she's not willing, but she has to be who she is, which includes being sort of a living, breathing person who wants to be in love. And I think at times she makes it harder for herself because she's so strong-willed, but she's also not somebody who would be happy giving it less. But I also think, you know, I think when you write, there's really only two things to write about, and that's love and that's death. And those are sort of the only real subjects of literature.
The tent poles, and you have to get there eventually.
Yeah. I don't think you can write good work that doesn't deal with either or both.
In the loss that that Cordelia deals with, it has profound impact on her and again on that whole mythology, doesn't it?
Absolutely. There's this sort of question of, you know, one of the things I teach a creative writing pretty frequently. And one of the things I always say to my students is you have to ask yourself the question, why this story? Why this day? And the reason we start where we start in The Lobster Kings is because, you know, there's a loss that changes the trajectory of the Kings family. You know, it's been generation after generation after generation, and this time there's something different. And she has to respond to that. And that's, for her, a lot of the struggle is that, you know, it would, you know, if the book was simply her being a son and just stepping in her father's footsteps, then you're not really answering that question of why this story, why this day, because it is in some ways just another generation. But this is the generation where everything changes.
What is next for you?
Working on a story collection, another novel, some TV stuff. But, you know, I love being a writer. And so the short answer is more writing.
whatever comes along, right?
Yeah, I think as an artist, your ultimate goal is that your next project can be the thing that I'm obsessed with.
Right. And there's always an obsession, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Alexei Zentner's new novel is The Lobster Kings. It is published by Norton. Alexei, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for talking with me, Joe.
Thank you. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about the show. You can email us at book@wamc.org, and you can listen again to this or find past book shows at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue. What matters it how far we go? His scaly friend replied, there is another shore, you know, upon the other side. The further off from England, the nearer is to France. Then turn up pale, beloved snail, but come and join the dance. Will you join the dance? Will you, won't you?
dance. Will you, won't you, will you, won't you join the dance? Will you, won't you, will you, won't you join the dance?